It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Not how you start, it's how you finish. So with that in mind, in Genesis, the 18th chapter, starting at verse 17, it says, "The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and judgment, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken." So God won't hide a secret, his secret plans, if he could find those who understand transgenerational ministry. Now, when we talk about transgenerational ministry, God never want to give a man a revelation, or give a man an assignment, and then every other year he need to, start a new revelation or give a man another assignment. God wants it to continue from one generation to the next generation. So he doesn't want to keep raising one man every few years who only serves time on earth without leaving a legacy in the things which God has richly deposited into his life for others to continue in. So, when we think about, I think about it all the time. I think about how, the great mighty men of God. I read the book about the generals, and, there were people in there like Jack Cole, Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Kuhlman, William Seymour, there were A.A. Allen, there was Amy McPherson, there was people who God really used mightily. But because in Christendom, because there is so much selfishness, there's so much ego, there is so much, a person really think that, God has given them everything that they ever need, but that's not true. God will always use somebody to pour into your life. And so as it relates to this finishing generation, there are so many people. Now, this is something I want you to really think about. There are so many people who are in ministry, who are doing things, and it all depends on, where, when they get corrected or whatever and stuff. Most folk, when they get corrected, it's over. You understand what I'm saying? And so, if you're going to be a finisher, see, whenever God has something for you to accomplish or something for you to do, he's always going to use a person to pour into you, and that person will always bring correction. There's going to always be correction, because if you don't accept the correction, then that means that you already know how to do everything. So, you don't ever have to be corrected about anything. So what has happened in the body of Christ is that the reason why a lot of those anointings have been lost is because there's been so many men and women who had independent spirits. And when a person have an independent spirit, they're like, God has this special gift that he's given me. And so I don't really have to, glean from someone else. That's not true. Everybody, nobody is an island. And so the reason why that the anointings had not been transferred from generation to generation, because they didn't have people that were there that wanted to be poured into. Now, so what God has given to a man is not just for himself and his lifetime, but for his generation and for the generations to come. So in Lamentations 5:19, it says, "You, O Lord, rule forever. Your throne is from generation to generation." Then in Daniel 4, And 3 it says, how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. So his throne, his dominion, his salvation, all his plans are all for all generations. Now, God is looking for the continuity of legacy and his purpose. And his purpose is here on earth. So God was revealed his secret plans to those who will make an effort to raise the next generation. Now, when I think about this, I think about the apostle. I think about how I've been following the apostle for 17 years. And I've always seen this hunger in him to impart into others. And not all the time people were patient enough to sit and be poured into, because at a certain point in time, I don't know why, but sometimes people put a time limit on how long they're supposed to sit and be poured into. But if you look at the life of Elijah, following Elijah, it was about 17 or 20 years that he followed and served him. But many times we don't have people today who just sold out to God. Lord, whatever it is, wherever, how long I got to sit and I got to be poured into, Lord, I'm just willing to do whatever. They're not. But most people are looking to graduate to get to this next level so that they can do their own thing. And most times, most people get shipwrecked that way. So I've seen the apostle how he's had this desire and he's had this craving. I mean, it is a craving that he has to really pour into and really help ministers and stuff, because that's what God has put in him. Now, I remember when I first started following, and he was following Brother Hagin, and I remember Brother Hagin was saying that if he was saying to the sons that he had, he said, if y'all boys don't catch on to this, once I'm off the scene, this anointing gonna be lost. But apostle, he stuck in there. He followed his spiritual father. He told us stories about how, you know, there were times when, you know, he didn't have the money to go and that kind of thing and stuff. But he didn't let that stop him. If he had to get money from somebody or whatever and stuff, he got in his car. His car broke down. He'd be on the side of the road trying to fix his car, get the car fixed, head on up the road, you know, following his spiritual father. So, we don't have a lot of that today. We don't have a lot of that. So that's why he has this hunger that he has, because that legacy had been passed on. That legacy, now Brother Hagin followed, followed Smith Wigglesworth and those guys and stuff. So that heritage or that legacy, It's still alive in the earth today. Why? Because the apostles walking in it. But how many folk are going to really allow him to pour into their lives? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it is something. When I see what's going on across the board in the body of Christ, and how people are just shipwrecking ministry, just shipwrecked. One of the things that when I first started following the apostle, one thing he told me when I first sat in his office, I'll never forget it. He told me, he said, now, if you're going to follow me, you're going to walk upright. He said, you're not going to play no games. You're not going to run no women. He said, you're going to do what's right. I said, yes, sir. He said, now, if I find out you're doing anything wrong, he said, I'm going to break both of your legs. I said, yes, sir. And I left out his office that day. I said, this is the kind of man I need to follow. I need somebody that I can follow that'll get in my face. You know, tell me about myself. Tell me that I need to get on the right track. If I'm on the wrong track, tell me I need to get my butt back, you know, back in line. And he don't have no problem telling you that. You understand what I'm saying? And the thing about it is, man, I have been corrected. Oh, Lord have mercy. I've been corrected. I had the slack jerked out of me. And guess what? All it did was made me better. You understand what I'm saying? And so there have been times when he before he rebuked me, he told me, he said, now I'm about to rebuke you. And I said to myself, and I'm about to receive it. Praise God. Because, see, one thing about it is, when you're really following somebody, first of all, you got to first ask God to show you that person's heart. And so when God show you that person's heart, and even though they're correcting you, you know that they're not trying to hurt you. It's only for your good. I mean, same way it is, you know, in your house, you know. I remember, you know, man, my daddy used to tell me, he said, son, when he get ready to whoop me, he said, son, it's going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. And I was saying to myself, you lying. I said, you know that this not going to hurt you. But he loved me enough to correct me and not let me, you know, just keep on making the same mistakes over and over and over. But he corrected me. So the same way, man, if a person really loves you, they'll correct you. Now, a person that just lets you just go on and just keep on going and make this mistake after that mistake and just, you know, well, just go ahead. No, they don't love you. But a person who really loves you, I tell you, you know, you say, well, the Lord told me to do this. And watch this. And they'll know. See, watch this. It's like the Lord won't come to my house and tell my wife that he want her to preach or something without talking to me. Because he made me the head of the house. You understand what I'm saying? So God is the one that set up order. He don't violate the order. So the same way, God's not going to speak to, you know, one of the people that I pastor and say, they say that, well, the Lord said, you know, that stop me, time me to go start a church. And then, you know, say, no, the Lord ain't said it. Go set your butt down. But most folk will take it as, you know, they'll get offended with it. But the thing about it is, God is not going to speak to the people who are, that's just like any kind of major decision I have. I run it by apostle first. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm talking about even before I make any major purchases. If I get ready to buy a car or something like that, I'd run it by him first. Somebody say, well, you got to do all that. No. See, if he going to be my covering, I want him to cover me all the way. See, I'm not going to be one of those people who want the covering when it's convenient for you, but when it's not something that you want to hear, then, you know, you want to hear from the Lord. Praise the Lord. So in order, God is looking for continuity of legacy and in his purposes here on earth. So. We say God will reveal his secret plans to those who will make every effort to raise the next generation and the ensuing ones to walk in that which he has begun with them. He will release his miracle power for those which are ready to impart it into others. We've been going to the Show Me Your Glory conferences. Man, I'm telling you, we've been seeing some of the most powerful signs, wonders, and miracles that you ever laid your eyes on. And the thing about it is, the whole while we're there at a conference or something, Apostle always saying, y'all boys pay attention. He's always training us. You know what I'm saying? He's always training. Please don't be looking off or something while he's talking. He'll tell you in a minute, are you going to pay attention or what? Because, you know, he don't want to waste his time trying to pour into folk who don't want it. Because it's nothing but a waste of time. It's just like a person can have a big container. And then you got a pitcher pouring into the container. But the container, you move it away and the substance, it just falls to the ground. That's just a waste. So, and this is what I have seen. I've seen apostles. He's looking for somebody who really wants it, who really hungry, who really will recognize the rare gift that God has placed on his life to pour into, you know, sons and daughters. So, So for 2 Timothy, just in case y'all don't know, in the book, I am in the introduction. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3 and 4 says, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did. You see that? As I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. So he's talking about that. He's talking about, Paul said, you know, I'm serving God with a clear conscience. And then he make references to the way my forefathers did. So Paul, the reason why God could use him in such a way, because Paul had somebody, amen, that trained him. You with me? Now, and look at it. We're talking about, I thank God who I serve with a clear conscience. Your conscience ought to always be clear. You should, listen to me. Anything, if there's a time when you've offended someone or you've done anything that's outside the will of God, you need to always bring it before the Lord. You need to always have your conscience clear. You need to always, you understand what I'm saying? And so, Paul here, because Paul is teaching Timothy there in that 2 Timothy 1. I mean, he's talking to Timothy. So Paul, the apostle Paul, who served God with a clear conscience like his forefathers, now he's instructing Timothy, the third generation, to continue the legacy placed into him. And he reminds Timothy that his grandmother and his mother have also provided a strong contribution to that which he is carrying within him. Now, these generations were meant to become connected together to fulfill the same destiny and complete the same purpose. Hallelujah. Now, I've seen in LTMA, I've seen people who join LTMA. Many times people join and they have ulterior motives. There have been people who join because they know the success of the apostles' ministry, and they know that he's a blessed man. So they feel like, I can go be a part of LTMA, and if I get into financial trouble, he'll get me out. Wrong. And that is what some people join with that in mind. So, you know, they say, well, you know, apostle, I got in some kind of financial trouble. That's why you're following. All you got to do is just follow instruction. He's going to teach you how to get out. You with me? But I've seen them. They had wrong motives. And they had this one man. Here he is. You know, he got wrong motives. And then he wanted to try to, I didn't know what he was doing. You know, he told me, he said, well, man, I see how close you following. I'm just, you know, trying to follow the example. That was, he was trying to use that where he thought that I was going to open a side door for him. No, the pastor don't play that. All the doors will be closed. No. And so once I found out what he was doing and closed the door, he resigned. Yeah, he resigned. He resigned because, first of all, he wanted to be equal with the apostle because he felt like he's an apostle. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. With no evidence. See, watch this. See, I don't have to be called to be an apostle. I am an apostolic pastor. Because I follow an apostle. Because I am a partaker of his grace. Hallelujah. So the signs, wonders, and miracles that's following the apostle is following the apostolic pastor. Because of connection. Because watch this. Because he's pouring in now so that the next generation and the generation following that is going to be connected with the same anointing. You with me? But it's not going to happen for people who start and can't finish. You got a whole lot of folk that they start off at the gate. They run out the gate. They running, but they can't run long. And it's a sad thing, but God can't use that. So Timothy was instructed by Paul to both retain the standard of sound words, which he had received, and to guard the treasure. The Bible talks about we have these treasures in these earthen vessels. God, see, in every one of us, God has placed precious treasures in us. And we have to, that's why last year I taught a class, the dynamics of holiness. And so holiness is something that is really lost in most churches now. When you start talking about holiness, man, folks start frowning at you. Holiness don't mean wearing no dress to the ground and wearing a, you know, Bobby socks and a bun, your hair up in a bun, and that kind of thing and stuff. You know, I went to a church to preach one time, and, you know, so my wife came, me and my wife, we came in the church and stuff. You know, my wife, she had her hair done, she had her nails done, she had lipstick and makeup on. And those women, when we walked in there, the women, they were looking like, oh, Lord, look at Jezebel, and walked in the place. Now, when I got in there and I saw them people with them long dresses, them Bobby socks on, and they had their hair up in a little bun, and then I seen the pastor and the deacons and stuff come out, they were sharp. I said, it's a shame they got these women looking like this around here. Ain't nothing holy about that. Praise the Lord. I said, man, they need to get these people some makeup up in this church. Hallelujah. Because they may have a name, that the name of the church may have holiness in it. They think that, the scripture that talks about the a woman, you know, talk about the adorning of the platinum of the hair and that kind of thing and stuff. They missed the whole point. All he's saying is that you need to pay more attention to the heart than you pay to the outside. So if you're going to fix the outside up, the inside ought to be a whole lot better than you're doing with that. You understand what I'm saying? So if you take time to put all that effort into making up and doing your hair, your nails and all that kind of stuff, you ought to put just as much effort in getting your heart right. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, but holiness is something that, it's a lost commodity in the church. Praise God. But, God is still looking for folk to walk in holiness. So he says that, so Timothy was instructed by Paul to both retain the standard of sound words which he had received and to guard the treasure which had been entrusted to him. So Paul further exhorted Timothy to look for faithful men. Now watch this. Now he tells Timothy, we'll read it here, but he's telling Timothy, he said, now, I want you to find faithful men. Let's look at it right there in the second Timothy 2:2. It said, the things which you have heard from me, the Apostle Paul, he's talking to Timothy, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. You can't just teach it to anybody. Timothy, find somebody that's faithful. Let me tell you something. I would much rather have somebody who don't know what to do but always show up than to have somebody who know what to do but never shows up. I can train the person who show up how to do whatever needs to be done. But a person who already know and don't show up, you got yourself a mess. So Paul's telling Timothy, say, look, find some men that's faithful. Find some folk. You understand that? It's like, man, last night, man, I was so hurt when they told me the apostle taught last night, man. Do you know if they had just let me know a little bit before, I would have, amen, I'd have left my Bible study. I'd have came down here. I would have came right here and been right in the class. So they told me that the apostle, I said, did what? I said, how in the world did this get by me? Because faithful people always want to show up whenever the apostle is sharing the word. Praise the Lord. I did not want to miss, man. You understand what I'm saying? And then they want to tell me about my son-in-law. He was telling me about how good it was and the presence of God. And just don't tell me nothing. Don't tell me nothing. Praise God. Because I should have been here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Next time calling that happen, you make sure you call me on the phone or something. Call me, say, the pastor is here. Give me some kind of something. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. So he told him to entrust him to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So The present apostolic move is bringing clear, accurate doctrine so that believers who have been disciples of the present day saints of old, can move forward without losing out on inheritance. So God is raising up a generation of fathers to bring to maturity a whole generation of sons who have been often long along the way. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm biased, and I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm prejudiced about this, but I am. I've been in some big organizations, big preachers, and I have never, and I don't just say I'm saying it because it's true, but I do feel I am biased about the apostle. I am a little prejudiced about him, but I have never followed no one who have followed God so intensely. Lord have mercy. I mean, he's in hot pursuit of God. So this is what the Lord showed me a few years ago. You know, you can really go no further than what you've seen or what you've been taught. Okay. And so I started going in dimensions that I had never gone in before. And so I'm saying to God, Lord, what in the world is going on? So God told me, God said, it's because you're following close, and apostle, he's leading you to a place that you've never been before. All you knew, you've been under other pastors, and the furthest you can go is how far they've gone. But he's going so much further, that's why you're in a zone that you had never been in before. I say, my God, man, I say, Lord, what's going on? I'm seeing things. I'm hearing God say this and that. I said, Lord, what? And he said, it's because of he's taking the limits off me. So guess what? And Lord told me something like that. Guess what? I'm following closer. So God wants the current leadership to bring them into the inheritance by the process of fathering them to become true sons and daughters of God here on earth. Now, when it really comes down to, I've seen a lot of this. Many times, people have not allowed themselves to go through the process. Whenever God calls you, that's a process that you have to go through. In order for God to really mature you, that's a process that you have to go through. And so if you are not willing to go through the process, see, God don't need us. You understand what I'm saying? What I mean by that is that, okay, if God has called me to do something and, you know, I want to act all crazy and stuff. I don't want to follow. I want to be submitted to leadership and that sort of thing and stuff. You know what, God will just see what's going to happen is, okay, if God has put so much in you and then you get to the point that you don't want to follow, you don't want to mature no further, then God will just replace you with somebody else. And then the reward that you were going to get, God will give it to them. But it's going to take, it may take a little longer to get them where you are. So, you know, God, that's why God doesn't like rebellion and stuff, because you can't really, legacy can't be passed on through rebellious people. You can't. And, you know, I've had people tell me, you know, the Lord told me that I'm supposed to be following. The Lord told, I said, okay, all right, we'll see. We'll see if the Lord told you. And, I had one guy, we had a minister's meeting. He got in there and he said that he told all the ministers that, he said, I'm going to show y'all how to follow the pastor. I'm going to show y'all how to, It's been some years ago. He said, I'm gonna show y'all how to follow the pastor. And but he had some motives. He was trying to get close to me so he can get in the pulpit. And the thing about it is, when it didn't happen, you know, I was one Sunday I was just strolling through the television screen, the television channels, and saw him on there. He's sitting in somebody's pulpit. And told me he was on the road. Said, oh yeah, he was a truck driver. Said, yeah, I'm on the road a lot, so that's why you don't see me much anymore. No, he was trying to go somewhere where somebody let him preach. Hallelujah. You will never be able to accomplish the thing that God wants you to accomplish if you're not willing to be taught and go through a process. Y'all with me? Now, the people, you know, in my church will tell you now, if the apostle called me, I'm leaving the church. I'm leaving the church. You know why? Because, watch this. I am more concerned about helping him to fulfill his vision. That's what the Lord told me. The Lord said, Jeff, I want you to follow and help to fulfill his vision, and I'm going to raise up people that's going to help you to fulfill yours. Amen. Hallelujah. So when the apostle called, I just dropped everything. What? Everything. Praise the Lord. And the thing about it is, and when you following somebody, you got to make sure you got a good strong mate who feel like you feel. Because if you don't, you in trouble. You understand what I'm saying? Cause you know, we on the road a lot and stuff. So my wife don't complain. My wife said, you better go ahead, you better hurry up. Praise the Lord. And she be pushing me out the door with the suitcase. Hallelujah. Know why? Because she know that it's my assignment to follow the apostle. Now, I want you to think about this. Think about this. Think about one of the things that I've learned, following the apostle is I learned heaven and earth government. And so really we are citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so since our citizenship is in heaven, then the earth is really not our home. The earth is where we do our assignment. So now, watch this. When we praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So now, if it's unlawful in heaven, it ought to be unlawful on the earth. So the apostle is teaching us to how to really walk in authority as it relates to, you know, taking dominion in the earth realm. And so there's a holy boldness that has accompanied the instruction that the apostle has been given us. So now I look at things different now. I look at, okay, if something is not going right in the earth, then my assignment is, amen, to bring heaven into earth, into any kind of situation, any kind of circumstance that's going on, amen. I am to influence heaven, amen, to touch earth. And so now, how in the world, you don't hear nobody talking about, you know, we citizens of heaven and all that kind of thing and stuff. No. And so when you see it this way, you know that all that your reason for even existing is to fulfill the will of God. The reason that I exist is to fulfill God's will. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. All the things that I do during the day and stuff. Amen. Everything has to do with me. You may be on a job. You may feel like, you know, man, I don't want to be on this job. Man, these people just crazy. That's the job you need to be on because you need to impact the earth. Amen. With heaven resources, everything that you need in the earth realm, heaven has already provided it for you as a child of God. Praise God. So now, how in the world are we going to be able to change the way things have been? So that's why when The apostle is he's ministering about signs, wonders, and miracles. Now we see things in a whole different realm. You understand what I'm saying? Now I'm not afraid to, you know, put my hand on somebody or speak to a situation and command it in the name of Jesus to dissipate or whatever. At one time, the devil say, now suppose you do that and don't nothing happen. Well, it don't make no difference because it's really not. See, we've been trying to save face. We've been trying to protect our reputation, but it ain't about us. So once we understand it ain't about us, amen, we just on assignment here, then, amen, we just go ahead on and just do what the Lord wants us to do, amen, walk in authority that's been given to us and not allow anything to move us in any kind of way. So this got, you got to be trained for this. You got to, you understand what I'm saying? You can't, this is not something that just fall on you by osmosis, by you just sitting next to somebody. This is, amen, you got to get under, amen, a man or woman of God, amen, allow them to pour it into you. Yeah. Until you, which you understand that, it, amen, everything that you do, none of it is about you. And see, when this finishing generation, this is the thing that we got to get a hold of. If we're going to, see, the more we begin to give God glory, the more God can trust us, amen, with his glory, as glory carriers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I get excited, man, when I start thinking about, you know, because I think about the people who used to follow apostles and they fell off the wagon. And I see where they are now. And then I see, you know, what God is doing in us in this day and time. I said, man, how in the world could you miss it? How in the world could you fall off the boat? You let your ego, you let, you know, you let your, let folk. You never ought to let folk, amen, make you feel like you in Paul. When the folk would bow down to Paul and them, you know, when were, signs and miracles would take place, the apostle Paul said, get up from there. I'm a man just like you. You understand what I'm saying? Get up. You know, hold on. Don't do that. God gets the glory. But this thing, amen, this thing has got to be. Some things are taught and some things are caught. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to get them both. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, so this finishing generation will be crowned with a generous company of fathers around them from whom they will draw and receive impartation. Hallelujah. Like Moses to Joshua, like Samuel to David, like Paul to Timothy. This generation will have true apostolic fathers who will. Let me just stop right here. They got some folk that talking about their apostles ain't been more apostles than the man in the moon. You understand what I'm saying? And the reason why I'm saying that is because I believe that most people, they look in the Bible and they say, you know, well, it look like the apostle look like he up there hiding everybody. So I think I choose to be one of these. And then they put apostle on their name. And they have no sign, they have no one, they have no miracles, nothing taking place. And so I'm saying that because there's a whole lot of folk who really don't have nothing to deposit in a person because they haven't said unto nobody themselves. It does not, see, you can't just appear on the scene and you load it with everything that you ever need. And God is going to use you to turn the world upside down. It ain't going to happen. It's got to be through true apostolic fathers who will nurture and empower them to come into fulfillment of the purposes and promises of the forefathers. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, let me see. Let's go to chapter 1, talking about this prophetic generation. Let's see, I got a few more minutes. The prophetic generation. Now, this is the generation rising on the earth today that is causing the cloud of witnesses in heaven to rejoice. God is commanding and sending his angels and messengers to bring his royal assignment to these pursued ones. Now, the prophetic fulfillment of many of God's promises will earth itself in this generation. God will rise upon them and manifest his awesome power and reveal himself to the earth. All activity surrounding the life of Jesus were aligned to the prophetic purposes of God. So now, see, there's the apostle and there's the prophet. And this is why really the church really had not been walking in the power that she's supposed to be walking in, because many times in the church, they started off with the pastor. They didn't recognize the prophet, didn't recognize the apostle. And like the apostles say, mostly because we didn't even know what an apostle was. You understand what I'm saying? So the whole fivefold ministry gifting, it was not connected. And so when that apostolic, that prophetic is really flowing, amen, you'll start seeing God raise up sons and daughters, man, that's going to do great, mighty things, because I believe that there's a prophetic cloud that's hanging over every person. What do you mean a prophetic cloud? I believe it's a prophetic cloud. I believe that's a prophecy that's hanging over every person's head. But how many know prophecies? A prophecy doesn't just happen, but a prophecy, you have to go through a process. There's a process that you have to go through for the prophecy to be fulfilled. You with me? Okay, let's just say, remember, it was prophesied that there was going to be a virgin that was going to have a baby and that sort of thing and stuff. And so Mary was that person. But Mary couldn't, God would have had to pass over Mary if Mary would not have sanctified herself, if she had not set herself apart. God would have had to, if she would have been a wayward woman who had been with men, God could not have caused the Messiah to come through her. So that cloud is hanging over, but amen, you can disqualify yourself. You can disqualify yourself. And that's what has happened to a lot of folk. A lot of folk talking about, they prophesied over me and told me that I was going to be this here and that. They got one guy, I tried to talk to him. I couldn't help him. He said that he had went to this meeting and stuff, and say the guy laid hands on and prophesied to him and said that he was a pastor. And so he didn't go to his pastor and tell him. He just started kind of missing. And so the pastor was wondering where he was, and he said, the Lord kind of just lead me out to kind of fellowship and stuff with different churches. And so I found out, what had happened. And so I said to him, I said, man, what's going on with you? And so he told me about the prophecy and stuff. I said, so what are you planning on doing? You plan on starting a church? He said, well, yeah. He said, because the guy said that God going to do a quick work. I said, why you didn't talk to your pastor about it? He said, well, he probably going to talk me out of it. I said, so how good do you know the person who prophesied to you? He said, I didn't know him at all. I said, do you think that the devil could have used him to say this to abort your destiny? He said, no, because I've been kind of feeling it anyway. I said, well, let me just ask you a couple of questions here. I said, now, if God had called you to pastor, I said, how long has he been dealing with you about this? He said, I said, no, you don't have to answer me. I said, I know the answer already. God hadn't been dealing with you about pastoring. I said, but what you see is you see what your pastor doing and it look easy because he got grace to do it. So instead of you sitting under him and waiting until God speak to him about, see, most folk think that the pastor trying to hold him back. See, watch this. Okay. I suppose I'm crazy, I'm passing the church and I feel like, I'm traveling with apostle and stuff. I say, man, apostle holding me back. I'd be traveling with him. I got to be traveling, with my own ministry and stuff. No. Most people that were sent out, they were sent out by apostles. So this gentleman, he may have 7 or 8, maybe 10 people. But 7 of them is family. And other 3 work for him. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's what happens whenever we full of ego and pride, Soon as somebody prophesied to us something to us that we think that, oh, that sounds good. Oh, that's the Lord. And then they run in and do it. No, wait a minute. Hold on. What about the preparation time? What about the time it's going to take you to prepare to become what God said that you're supposed to be? What happened to that time? What happened to, you know, are you going and develop yourself anymore? How in the world are you going to lead somebody? Because, see, watch this. If you say that you're a pastor and you're leading people and stuff, and you look behind and it ain't nothing but your family people behind you, amen, you may be just taking a walk. Amen. You really not leading nobody. You understand what I'm saying? But there's a prophetic cloud that's hanging over us. But how many of you know we have to put ourselves in a position to get under a man and woman of God that's going to train, that's going to teach us, amen, and that's going to cause us, not going to say everything to us that we want to hear. That's not going to be pampering us and making us feel good, that kind of thing. You understand what I'm saying? Man, listen to me. Y'all excuse how I say this, but I'm from the street. You understand what I'm saying? And so I really couldn't have nobody. I couldn't really have no punk, nobody who lead me. You understand what I'm saying? I had to have somebody like the apostle. I had to have somebody who say, man, go sit down somewhere. You know, that ain't the Lord. You understand? I had to have somebody like that. But most folk can't handle it when people correct them. You understand what I'm saying? My feelings got hurt. What your feelings got to do with this? God is trying to prepare you for the future. So why in the world are you tripping? You got to put yourself in a position where, amen, you allow the Spirit of God. See, without the Spirit of God, you're going to be in the flesh and you're not going to be. The Bible says many are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So you're going to have to put yourself in a position, amen, where God can really speak to you. There was times when I know I had a calling to go further than what I was, but when I was with my pastor, I always felt like I was going to be serving him the rest of my life. That's the way I served. I didn't serve like I'm going to serve him now. And God, you know, the way the system worked, then God got to promote me. No, no, no. See, then you got the wrong motive. So I served my pastor like I was going to serve him the rest of my life. And then all of a sudden, you know, Lord, how much? Here come promotion. Here come, you know, my pastor, one Sunday morning, man, here I am one Sunday morning. I'm sitting there on the pew, and I'm sitting there, and he makes this announcement. He said, I will be retiring at the end of the year. He said, but we're in a Baptist church now. We don't have to vote because the Lord already spoke to me about who to appoint. We're in a Baptist church. You vote in a Baptist church. But the Lord has set this up. So I'm sitting there on the front. I'm sitting there on the front row. And he said, the Lord say, he already got a man. And then he pointed over at me. I'm looking behind me. See who he pointing at. But the thing about it is, watch this. No matter what kind of correction I got, I received it. No matter. I mean, that was a time when, let me look at my time. He blasted me in front of the whole church. Man, my feelings were so hurt. And so I leave and go home, and the Lord tell me, don't talk to nobody. The Lord said, don't talk to nobody. Don't let. And so one person came and say, it's a shame. He shouldn't have said that. I said, what you talking about? Well, he shouldn't have said. I said, let's go talk to him about this. See, because you can get so full of, you know, sympathy from people and that kind of thing and stuff. And you got a prophecy hanging over you. And here you are. You about to ruin it. So I just I went on about my business. And the Lord told me, the Lord said, now tomorrow, go cut his grass. I went to cut his grass. And I got there a little late. He was just finishing cutting the grass, and the Lord said, I said, Lord, I missed it. I said, I done got here too late. The Lord said, well, wash up everything for him. So I said, I got it. I'm washing up. And then I go in the little outhouse, and it was kind of disorganized. So I took everything out and organized and everything and stuff. He said, oh, you ain't got that. I said, yes, I do. The Lord told me to do it. And so now what the Lord was doing, the Lord was keeping me from getting any kind of bitterness in my heart, because there was a prophecy that was hanging over my head. But I could have disqualified myself getting bitter and getting angry. Do you know bitterness will kill you? Praise the Lord. And my time is up. Praise the Lord. Y'all read that, finish reading that first chapter of that first chapter there, A Prophetic Generation. You're going to see, I believe that in this school, I believe, man, God has raised apostles for a time such as this. And I believe that the people in this school are going to be some of the most fortunate people that's going to turn the kingdom, that's going to turn the world upside down for the kingdom of God. I really believe that with all my heart. Praise God. Hallelujah.